When I said before the break we'd be talking about stress, Jonathan Ehrman just said, well, maybe you should keep us here for that. And it is no doubt something, a stress factor in all our lives. But if it isn't managed, it can take control. It can result in serious problems and complications for our physical and mental health. Now, to talk us through the science of stress, I'm joined by consultant psychiatrist Dr. Abby Lane, and also to tell us about the techniques used for relaxation, I'm joined by comedian Sue Collins of the Nulas, and Trevor Sargent, former leader of the Green Party. Good morning to you all. First of all, Dr. Lane, stress, you know, the players preparing for the semi-final tomorrow, the people preparing to perform at Electric Picnic, doing whatever job, it's involved in all our lives, isn't it?
It's involved in all our lives. It's part and parcel of it. Keeps us on our toes, gets the job done. It's great to have it, but it needs to be managed. So when it gets out of hand for us, it can cause us a lot of problems, physical and mental problems. So it's a real source of, I suppose, physical health, mental health, costly for the person, and also we know that it costs money from a health service and an economic point of view. So the main illnesses, I suppose, related to stress would be gastrointestinal, cardiac, so tummy upsets, bowel upsets, hypertension, cardiac pain. But then from a mental health perspective, it can really affect our ability to function, our energy and our concentration.
There must be ways of recognising the signals that it's beyond the normal, the stress that comes into people's lives. I mean, and how do you have general advice for people as to how they should head it off at the pass?
The best way is prevention, as in all illnesses. So the best way is to look at a lifestyle that will try and prevent as much stress as you can. And then I suppose if that doesn't, we can talk about that. If that doesn't help, then you need to start to look at what your signs are. So if you've had difficulties, you're doing your best to try and manage it, but you're still experiencing pain, aches, headaches, tension, you don't want to go to work on a Monday morning, you're anxious, worried, fearful, you need to then maybe seek additional help. So the things that help prevent stress are really lifestyle based. So it's all the healthy living habits. Exercise is a wonderful one. There are four main areas, I suppose. Exercise, and that can be a repetitive exercise of your choice, swimming, cycling, running, relaxation training, learning how to breathe essentially, because when we're very stressed, we don't breathe properly. And you'll see, you mentioned the players for the semi-final, you'll see them beforehand, you know, doing their breathing exercises, tuning out, focusing. And that's where mindfulness, which we've had a lot of talk about at the moment, comes in, yoga, Pilates. So we've got exercise, we've got relaxation, and then you've got, I suppose, the social aspect of having a social life, connecting with people. And by that, I mean face-to-face connection, not...
Right. Sue, you do meditation. Tell me how that works and how much you put into that. And you started, what, 15 years ago?
About 15 years ago, my boyfriend, who's now my husband, he actually gave me a present of a voucher for the introduction in the course, the five-day course in a TM centre.
Transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
That was all the rage in the same way that mindfulness is now, back
yeah,
in the day.
I mean, Maharishi Yogi brought it in the late 50s and kind of introduced the Western world to it. It's become extremely popular, and there's a commercial side to it as well, but it's incredibly beneficial. It's
how does it help you, and how do you practice it time wise?
It's very simple. It's 2 20-minute sessions per day. I'd love to be able to say that I do 2 20-minute sessions per day every day. I don't. I don't have time. I have 4 children under 9, so I can't really. That's actually the way that it should be done. That's the proper kind of timelines on it. I use it as much as I can. I get as many sessions in as I can.
What happens in the session?
It's 20 minutes, and it's I was taught how to do it properly about 14 or 15 years ago, and you... a lot of people they don't know about it, so they think that it's a religious thing. They think that it's something that they're not accessible to, and it's something that's kind of like beyond them, and it's kind of, you know, very kind of like, you know, they hear the word transcendental, but basically transcendental means deep rest, and it is a purely physiological tool to use, and it's basically just repeating a mantra, and you're actually clearing your mind of all of the noise and the horrible negative things that come into our mind and stop us from thinking clearly. That's basically how I describe it.
Trevor Sargent, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sean.
Former leader of the Green Party. I understand your form of relaxation happens mostly in the outdoors, and it started with a fairly small patch.
Well, it did indeed, yeah. During my time in politics, it became difficult enough, I guess, to attend to a garden, but I developed a very early and a very late night regime. It was only 20 by 40 foot, so it was quite manageable, but it involved growing food. And that in itself gave me huge relief from the stresses of politics. And I went on to write a book, Trevor's Kitchen Garden, on the back of it, which raises money for school earth education, for growing getting gardens going in schools, which is an important part of the education curriculum now in many countries. And it's recognised that being in touch with the soil, growing food particularly, given that the health benefits of fresh food are also important for physical as well as mental health, that it really is an important part, not just in an additional extra that one might try to do with some spare time, but it should be factored in. And socially, as Dr. Abby Lane was saying there, there's over 50,000 people involved in Grow It Yourself Ireland now. So it's a very sociable activity.
Coming back to your own use of it, Trevor, was it the case that you'd get up in the early morning or late at night and shake out the slug talks to make sure that your lettuce survived?
Well, funny enough, it didn't involve pellets, as you might expect. It was organic. But at night time, which is the only time I could really get out to deal with the slug predation, it sort of caught the slugs unaware. They certainly weren't expecting a gardener probably at that hour of the night.
Did you kill them with beer? Is that what you did?
I collected them up, and to be honest, it was a quick end for them, but it had to be done, and it's a case of the food or the slugs, so you choose the food.
And that would happen as early as what, 5 o'clock?
That would happen very late at night, because that's when the slugs would be around. Early in the morning would be for hoeing and weeding, because once the sun comes up, then the weeds get killed off. So for anybody with a busy life who says, I don't have time, the best time is very early in the morning for weeding and very late at night for slugs, which are two essential elements to having a successful garden.
And how much time, early or late?
It wouldn't take much. Certainly on a small patch of 20 by 40 foot, it really would be the kind of thing you could do in a couple of minutes, because there isn't that much space involved. Now, it's different. I've moved to Wexford. We have 3 acres, which is a totally different ball game. It's a different life entirely. But when you do have a busy life, a small space is better managed than trying to badly manage a big space. So you just deal with what you can manage.
Are you a full-time horticulturist then at this stage?
You could say that, yeah. Yeah, we're working on developing soft fruit and veg and hoping to supply into restaurants the type of food that might be difficult to get on the market.
And how does that kind of life compare with packing up your bike onto the public transport and cycling into the Dáil and coming and going and having to deal with all the comings and goings of politics?
As different as one could possibly imagine, Sean, and that's the beauty of being able to have a total change of life, and I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Have you passed the point of no return then politically?
I knew you'd get around to this question. That's yourself, all right. Fair play to you. I'm finished with standing for election. But as somebody might say in sporting parlance, I've gone from player to coach.
Well, that'll be very interesting. And I suppose, Dr. Lane, that is something, a complete change. I'm not saying he needed to do it, but he certainly sounds like he's enjoying it and is the better for it.
He certainly has. And I suppose that's how these things come about. I think it's important to look at what you're doing with your life. Try to see that there's more there than just work and home. Look after yourself. If you're going to do something like that, as Trevor said, start small. See if you enjoy it. See if it's for you. But don't try to put it in on top of something else. So evaluate what you're doing. And maybe if you're going to do it, set a period to do this, but not on top of everything else.
One thing that somebody said to me lately is that it's helpful in dealing with these things is if you if you're not surprised by them, feelings of anxiety, even because of maybe something new that you have to do and haven't done before, or just maybe a change in routine or something unexpected crops up.
Yeah, I think we have an inbuilt stress reaction that's protective. And that's really important, because if we feel under threat from any way, so if something new happens to us and we think it's a threat, then we react with anxiety. So keeping general things and stress management keeps that level down, so we're less likely to react with anxiety. But also to look at things as, you know, give ourselves time to adjust to things that are asked of us, and try and embrace them as a challenge, the famous challenge, but you know, to try and embrace them as a challenge rather than a threat.
One listener, and you'd have to feel for this person, saying that she suffers from anxiety and belches all the time. She says it's ruining her life.
Anxiety is caused, well, I suppose stress causes tension in the body and tension in our muscles, and we have muscles all over our body, including in our stomach. So it causes contraction and air trapping, which is very, very distressing, obviously, because all stress is distressing. And one of the ways, I think, relaxation training would be very helpful for that lady, if she could look at some form of breathing exercises or meditation or yoga breathing, would be very helpful.
And a 78-year-old Nana says she has a lot of stress in her hands. They shake a lot. She takes Xanax at times. Do you have any advice for her?
Well, Xanax is a substance that has been prescribed over the years, not tend to be prescribed now because we use other techniques to manage stress. But she would need to maybe have a chat with one of her doctors to see if that's something she needs to continue on or not.
Sue, one listener asks me to tell you that she tried, I think it's a she, to get into meditation, but found trying to do it very stressful, so she gave it up.
I've heard this an awful lot, and when I talk about TM, and a lot of friends say, I bought a book, I'm self-teaching. I personally feel that you really need to be taught how to do it. When I started doing meditation, I had a lot of group meditation sessions, and it really helped me. I spoke to a lot of other people who meditated. I met a lot of people who really had changed their lives through it, but you really need to be introduced to it, given your mantra, and kind of that is the commercial side to it, but in a funny way. You're kind of paying for the course, and you're kind of treating it in a more serious way.
What would it cost to pay for a course like that?
I think about 14 or 15 years ago it was £250.
If I could just say that if one wanted to sample meditation or TM, there are a number of really good phone apps around at the moment, and YouTube videos where you could go in and see what it's like, and test it for yourself. And there's also a mindfulness course run by St. Patrick's Mental Health Service that may be free of charge. So again, it gives you a good sample
From what you know, Sue, and maybe you might have a view on this or some insight, Dr. Lane, what's the difference between meditation and mindfulness, or might there be overlaps?
For me personally, yeah, definitely overlaps. I mean, when I was very, very stressed before I started meditating, I didn't know I was stressed. I actually was living with it. And I mean, I'd sort of see somebody, you know, in the supermarket and try and avoid them, not because I didn't like them, but because I actually couldn't cope with having a conversation on the street with somebody. My mind was so full and so kind of, you know what I mean? I couldn't see the wood for the trees really at that point. And it's only now that I look back and realise, God, that was complete and utter stress. And the TM completely. A lot of people can have different reactions to TM as well. I reacted incredibly dramatically to it in a positive way. It was amazing, the first experience that I had from my first session.
And Trevor Sargent, insofar as I have any limited insight into mindfulness, it would be that it helps you to concentrate on what you should be doing at any given time, whether it is shaving or I would imagine as well, something like being in the garden, you can get utterly absorbed in that plant or that weed, or maybe in your case, that slug.
Well, Sean, you've made a point there, which is really very important to take up from what Abby and Sue were saying too, in that gardening, as apart from being sociable, and I mentioned DIY Ireland as an example of that, which has their gathering on the in Waterford on the 12th and 14th of September. I hope to see people there. But that is free as well. Not the gathering, of course, is a cost for that, but the Grow It Yourself Ireland website have groups all around the country. There are 800 groups involved, and they are free as well. So in terms of people looking for something stress-free, relaxing, productive, and will save them money as well, because growing food is an increasing element of that is saving money too. That really I would recommend to people in terms of stress, in terms of exercise. And there's a song that Pete Seeger sang, which has a line in it, "Tune your body and your brain to the music from the land." Now, it might sound a little bit abstract, but it really has been proven in terms of medical research now that gardening does have a benefit in terms of treatment for depression, even osteoporosis. University of Arkansas study. There are many studies around. At the moment, the Deakin University in Australia is doing research into how eating better by growing your own can help avoid depression as well. And even the United States Department of Defense is focused on giving good food to veterans to bring down suicide rates, actually. And the EU has a scheme called the Mood Food Project, which I think is costing about €9 million.
I suppose, you know, it would be easier, Sue, to maybe deal with things if we all lived in isolation. But, you know, you've got the four kids under nine, you said.
Yes. I've just been to Edinburgh Festival, done 25 shows in a row. Childless, actually. So that was an interesting one as well, because I was leaving one stress behind and kind of facing another stress.
In a situation where it's Monday morning, it's raining, it's coming up
very
to the time
stressful.
To get them out to school, their socks missing, an anorak that can't be found in a school bag that still has last Friday's banana in it.
Yeah, it's well, when the twins were born, I had four under three. So, you know, you don't get any more stressful than that. Do you know what I mean? But at that stage, I'd already been introduced to meditation, so
We've mentioned Trevor's book, so we might as well let you mention it.
Thank you very much. We're just back from the Edinburgh Festival, from our sellout run, and we are embarking on our autumn tour, which starts on the 13th of September at Aeantis.
That's the news.
And all on the website for all the other dates of the tours.
Okay, Sue Collins, comedian, Dr. Abby Lane, consultant psychiatrist, and Trevor, now moving from the kitchen to the big 3-acre garden. Thank you all for being with us. News after these.